In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. As always, it's great to be with you, and today we are celebrating the feast of Saint Dominic, the founder of the Dominicans, the Order of Preachers today. And boy, what a great saint. Again, one of the founders of the most influential and important religious orders in the history of the church, the Dominicans. And so we celebrate him today. And of course, love for you to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. You know, I love in this time of year, you know, very interesting because, you know, my kids are all adults now, so I don't have to worry about the get to school thing, you know, that we used to have to do as a younger parent when our kids were still school aged, you know, so it's great relating to them now as adults, you know, and so I'm focusing now on is just you know, preparing for my speaking engagements I have coming up the rest of the summer and then into the fall. Very busy fall schedule, which is, you know, which I'm grateful to God, you know, for these opportunities that he is given me and has blessed me with and my family as well. And of course, your prayers and support are absolutely critical, you know, it keeps me going. It strengthens me and encourages me to keep going forward. It really, really means a lot. You know, our EWTN family is a worldwide family. It's a huge family, both radio and television and other media as well, the app and all the different ways that we access the Eternal Word Television Network. And I'm tremendously grateful to you and blessed by your prayers and support. I just, you know, every once in a while, I just want to mention that because I think about it a lot, but it's sometimes good to hear, you know, from me personally, how much your prayers and support mean. So thank you very much. I'm also looking forward to the EWTN family celebration, you know, the radio conference and the family celebration. So I hope to meet some of you there in person. You know, I'll be doing the radio show from the radio conference that week, and then of course staying for the weekend for the family conference as well. So please make sure you stop by and say hi, and so I can again thank you personally for your prayers and support and your love, you know, because we all share that one love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our Catholic faith. So thank you. I'm also tremendously grateful for the opportunity to travel on pilgrimage. And so I would encourage you to, we have some great, great trips next year with the MFVA Friars, with the Friars from EWTN. We're going to be going to Guadalupe, Mexico in May, and then to Ireland in June, to Japan in September, and then to Italy in October of next year. That's 2026. So just go to my website, deaconharold.com, click on the Pilgrimages tab, or you can just scroll down on the front page to the Harvest Journeys banner and just click on that. You can download the flyer. I'm going to be uploading the details for each pilgrimage very soon. But for now, you can download the flyer and see the pricing, the QR code, and get all the details there for the pilgrimages coming up next year. Again, would love to have you with us. It's always great to travel with members of the EWTN family. And the other members of the family I'm tremendously grateful for are the people that bring you this show each and every day. I'm talking about Vanessa Sanchez screening your calls, Michael McCall and his compadre Pedro Quiles, who does social media. And of course, where would we be without our producer, Ace McKay? Ace, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm good. Let's not find out what that would be like.
No, I don't ever. Let's not go there.
That's right. There are better things to dream about, right?
Yeah, but I just, you know, this has just been such a great partnership, you know, the two of us doing this show together. You know, who would have known? I mean, obviously, Jack Williams, the vice president for radio, saw something, you know,
Yeah.
between the two of us and put us together. And it's been absolutely fabulous. I think, be honest with you, the reason why I enjoy doing the show so much, like every day I look forward to doing the show, is because of you.
Well,
And
thank you.
our friendship and our interaction and the music and all the things that connect us is just a fabulous chemistry. And the people have responded. You
Yeah.
know, the people have called in and written, you know, sent emails talking about the show and the things that we're doing, are very appreciative of the connectedness that we have. You know, so it's definitely a God thing for sure.
Well, and I love to, you know, obviously connecting with people over music is always my love. So that within itself is why our friendship, you know, bloomed as quickly as it did. But I also love when God brings us those people into our lives, right? When we have either the friends we've known our whole lives, they know all of our warts, or it's new people that have come in a season of, you know, harvest or a season, maybe they rally around you while you are going through something, and then they're your people, right? And then that, or as some now call your tribe, you know, God provides you with those because, you know, then you know as you go into battle, you've got your people that will celebrate with you, pray with you know, all those things. But that's what's cool about how he works is that we think, you know, that we're alone in the things that we go through. And really, we do. We have our tribe. And so I'm glad to be in yours and have you in mine.
Yeah, thank you. So I said that really means a lot. You know, it's music that keeps us, that, you know, is the kind of the common denominator that keeps it. Well, the main common denominator is our faith in Jesus Christ. I mean,
Sure.
he's the common denominator, even for so many of us, you know, that listen to the show, actually, that aren't Catholic. You know, sometimes it surprises me to hear, how many folks listen to the show and appreciate the show who aren't members of the faith, and that's cool, you know, because the more we can open people's hearts to hear the beauty and the truth of the faith, I mean, it's all good, you know. And so I'm very grateful to each and every one of the people that support us. And you're right, you know, God puts people in our lives for a purpose, maybe just for a short time, you know, because that person, we need to learn something from that person. Maybe that person will teach us to, even if it's someone that we don't like, right? Sometimes God puts those thorns, you know, in the bushes, you know, to humble us, to show us, you know, that we are to love everyone with the love in the heart of Christ, regardless of who they are, what their circumstances are, you know. And so these are all opportunities, no matter who God puts in our life, to draw closer to him. You know, and I really, and as I gotten older, I've come to appreciate that more. Because when you're younger, it's like, I can't stand that person. So I just won't even make any effort at all to be around them. But no, I think God's love and His mercy has opened up my heart even more deeply now as I look back with perspective on my life.
Yeah, and if you know you feel like you don't have that, you know, ask for God to either bring those people into your life or a person, or to reveal to you the person that, you know, because so one of my closest friends, and we've been friends since college, we were kind of pseudo enemies in high school. He was friends, my friend Tim was friends with my brother, and we just rubbed each other the wrong way. I mean, just like anytime he was in the room, I was like, ugh, please. But then my brother invited him to go to the beach with us one summer as a family, and my brother met this girl from Texas and just kind of shafted us. So we're like, well, we can either hang out and do our own solo thing, or we can just, you know, suck it up and, you know, hang out for the week. By the end of the week, we were best buds. Like, and we still are. Like, his kids are my God kids and vice versa. And it's amazing. The people who rub you the wrong way may be the person that's supposed to be in your tribe.
Yeah, that's right. And as I say, we could always learn, no matter who God puts in our life. Like, you know, sometimes you say, God, what are you doing? Why is this person here? But maybe they also need to learn something from us. You know, so it's a two-way street. We can learn something from them, but also maybe God needs that person to learn something from us. And here's an opportunity to witness right? An opportunity to show this person mercy. Maybe this person is just a thorn in a lot of people, and they've been kind of pushed from person to person, and then finally they crossed our path.
Sure.
And here's an opportunity for this person to see the power of God's love working through me to this person.
Yeah.
You just never know. And so I think we always have to live being mindful of that reality.
Amen. So,
awesome. All right, my friends, today we're celebrating Saint Dominic, the founder of the Order of Preachers, better known as the Dominicans, one of the great, great saints of the church. And of course, would love for you to be with us today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah. Even when the main part of the song comes in, still.
Yeah.
Just kind of subtle, just kind of laid back.
Leaving rooms for vocals at some point.
Yeah, that's right. I like that when songs sometimes just leave space.
Yeah.
You know, and there's actually a lesson there. You know, one thing musicians learn is when they play together,
yeah.
You kind of, you know, you just like, and we talked about this before, you just got that look or that nod, and you just know, you know. Yeah. And the same thing when you're around people, you know, as you get to know them, you know, you get to know their little habits and the things that they like and don't like, and you kind of you know, kind of fit yourself to fit into that mode of that person. You know, it's like that with musicians too, that wink and that nod, you just know. And sometimes you need to give people space,
sure,
right, to allow their gifts to flourish, just like in a band. You know, okay, you take the solo, you take these 8 bars, you take these 16 mm-hmm. bars. And same thing in our personal life, right? Sometimes we have people, we have to give them space to allow their gifts to flourish,
yeah,
you know, and so for us true. To recognize the gifts that they bring to the table.
Yeah, amen. That's true.
Yeah, awesome. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're celebrating the feast of Saint Dominic, the founder of the Dominicans, or the Order of Preachers. And of course, would love for you to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, of course, Church Pop is a great way for you to stay in the know of what's happening, news shaping around the world, but then things that are happening on social media. It's just a way, it's what I would like to call an on-ramp. What is the on-ramp to the know, to the truth, and of course, applying it to your faith on a regular basis. Easy to sign up for and free when you go to ewtn.com. Go to Church Pop and click subscribe.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. And remember that you can download the Soulful Psalms as its own podcast. Go anywhere where podcasts are available or to ewtnpodcastcentral.com. All right, we're going to continue our look at Psalm 132. So Psalm 132 is in Book 5 of the Psalms, but it's also part of a group of Psalms called the Songs of Ascents, or Gradual Psalms, Psalms 120 to 134. These are Psalms that were sung by worshipers as they ascended the road to Jerusalem to celebrate one of three feasts, either the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, also called the Pesach, the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, which was the wheat harvest, in Hebrew is called Shavuot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, which is the fruit harvest, or called Sukkot in Hebrew. So they would have went to one of those three feasts. We know, of course, that the Holy Family went during probably the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pesach, to Jerusalem, where they, you know, Jesus was lost for a few days, and they found him in the temple. And this particular psalm, Psalm 132, is the longest of all the songs of ascents. And this one is a throwback, kind of a reminiscent of the kingship of David. All right, so the prescript or superscript of the psalm simply says, Shir Hama'alot, which is means a song of ascents. All right, and we are picking up here at verse 6. And again, this is kind of a reminiscent about the kingship of David. It started off, O Lord, remember David and all the hardships he endured. Right? The oath he swore to the Lord, his vow to the strong one of Jacob. And so we pick up kind of this promise of David here in verse 6. At Ephrathah, we heard of it. We found it in the plains of Yerim. And what they're talking about here is the Ark of the Covenant. Right? We see that in first in 2 Samuel chapter 6, David with the Ark of the Covenant. Let us go to the place of his dwelling. Let us bow down at his footstool. All right. So David here is wanting to bring the Ark of the Lord back into the presence of his people. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant, which held three things, right? It held the staff of Aaron, the Ten Commandments, the tablets from Moses, and also the manna from heaven, right? So those things were contained in the Ark of the Covenant. And so he's going to wants that Ark of the Covenant back in the presence of his people, you know, because the Ark of the Lord was kept for safekeeping and hiding so that the enemies of the Israelites would not capture and take the Ark into captivity. And so David said, let us go and recapture the ark to bring God's presence back into the lives of his people. And sometimes that happens with us, right? Sometimes a family tragedy, or sometimes, you know, certain things happen. We hear about, you know, sometimes not so good things that happen within the church herself. You know, for whatever reason, people sometimes step away from their faith. They don't feel a connectedness to their faith as they once did, maybe as a child. And they feel separated from, we kind of step away from a while, you know, and I think God is calling each and every one of us to recapture the sense of his presence, to bring his presence back into our lives again. You know, just like David is going to bring the presence of the Ark of the Covenant back into the lives of the people. Sometimes we have to remember that God always wants us to be in a relationship of love and life and intimacy and communion with him. And sometimes we have to be humble enough to allow God to step back into our lives once again. Yeah, and there may be, you know, out of anger, out of frustration, you know, that we've walked away from a while. Maybe we did not understand our faith or what God was trying to do through the instrument of his. But, you know, there's that invitation is always there from God to, hey, come back, you know. You know, we see the, you know, the, how the world doesn't satisfy that longing and that hunger and that desire. You know, it may be for a while, you know, the material things, but then it wears off, right? It didn't, just like, you know, when you go to the dentist to get a Novocaine shot that numbs your mouth so that the dentist can do whatever procedure he needs to do, but then it wears off, right? And then what happens when it wears off? Sometimes there's pain, right? And so what the culture does, it tries to medicate and keep, it doesn't deal with what the issue is, right? Because the God is the divine physician that deals with what's ever broken and hurting within us. You know, the culture just kind of is like Novocaine. It just kind of covers up. It numbs it. You know, like that the song from you know, Pink Floyd, Comfortably Numb, which is a great song, by the way. Sometimes the culture just numbs us, you know, but doesn't really deal with the issue of what's going on in our hearts, you know. And so, you know, God gives us that opportunity to come back into his presence, you know, to for him to come back into our lives. That the invitation is always there, is always open and available to us. So David continues in verse 8. Go up, Lord, to the place of your rest, you and the ark of your strength. So again, that ark represented the fact that God's presence among his people, you know, in a sense, God's physical presence among his people, because God, of course, has no body. Well, the second person of the Trinity, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but what we're talking about here in this psalm is way before Christ. So God doesn't have a physical body. So, but again, as human beings, right, we want to relate to God, we'll relate to others, and we relate to them through our bodies, right, which it was St. Paul says are temples of the Holy Spirit. So we relate with someone face to face, body to body, soul to soul. But we can't do that with God. And so the Ark of the Covenant, in a sense, represented God's physical presence among his people. You know, and so because that's why he calls it the Ark of your strength, because your presence resides among his people through the witness of the Ark. And today we have the tabernacle, right? We have the church, we have the tabernacle, we have the Blessed Sacrament reserved there. You know, so the presence of God is always with us in our churches, you know. I'm a firm believer that the tabernacle should be behind the altar, you know, should be kind of the center or the focal point. So when you come into the church, there's the tabernacle light, and there's the tabernacle. Inside is the glory presence of God, you know, who still resides with his people. You know, and often, you know, if the Lord is putting like in a side chapel, what does that say to us? About, you know, you're just kind of an afterthought. Again, that's just a personal thing for me. I like the fact that we keep Christ with the tabernacle in the center of the church reminds us that Christ is also the center of our lives.
Yeah, well, and I also like too, you know, in the same way that we go to Mass, we go to church to not only be surrounded by, you know, holy things and things that bring us closer to God, but having also, not to say you need an altar at home, but to have that place where you can really discern God's voice and know that it's, you know, like I know my mom, she has, in my whole life, she's had a chair with a little table in the corner of her bedroom, and that is where she goes to spend her time with God every day. And I can almost envision it as if I just saw it this morning, because it's so embedded into me. And I know that when she's talking about things that God's doing in her life, it's because I know she probably heard it in that chair, surrounded by the things that she know that helps bring her closest to him.
Yeah. And that's why we should have things around us and with us. You know, I always wear a miraculous medal and a crucifix, you know, when I'm traveling. You know, again, remind me of the presence of God and me as a public witness and servant in ordained ministry, a public witness and servant of Christ in the world.
Yeah.
You know, preaching the beauty and truth of faith and love. So, yeah, you're right. We should surround ourselves with things that remind us, that focus us, that center us, that ground us in the reality of God's living presence among us.
Yeah, well, and nothing's, to me, I'm speaking for myself, but I think it speaks for all of us. Nothing's worse than knowing God and understanding that he is working and not having the patience, the physical patience in our heart and soul to wait for him to work or to show up, as some say, show up and show out. I mean, and that's the thing that I know I get most frustrated with in my faith is like, I don't know why I'm letting this bother me. I know God's got this, but it's just under my skin. And that a lot of, and that's why I have to go back to either the last place where he showed up and showed out, or remind myself or others reminding me of, well, you know, you remember when he did this, you know, I mean, that's why we, that it's okay to, it doesn't mean our faith is shaken. It just means that our flesh and soul are constantly at some kind of twist and turn with each other.
Yeah, that's right. And that tension is part of it. It's all part of life, right? It's like a roller coaster, ups and downs and twists and turns.
Yeah.
And we just have to just ride with it, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're taking a look at our celebrating the feast of Saint Dominic, one of the great religious founders in the church. The Dominicans, the Order of Preachers, would love to hear from you. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com.
Chilling today.
Yeah, both songs, you know, in the segments here have been kind of like chill songs, you know.
Yeah. We've been going, you know, so fast, so far in the summer, like it's at that point where, like, all right,
Yeah, and you're at that point too. You got get ready to the whole go back to school thing, right, with your kids?
Yeah, with now both in high school.
Oh,
so
wow.
So freshman and junior.
All right. That's awesome. Are they same school, so they'll be seeing each other every
same
day?
Same school. Yeah, they'll get to. Ryan is done riding the bus. He's so excited.
Ah, okay.
He has his sister
could take him to school.
Yeah, she likes him just enough that, you know, because they have to ride to and from theater all the time, so they're always together when school starts.
Yeah.
She actually had gone on a trip to the beach with her friend, came back, and the first thing she did wasn't hug her mom or I. It was, Riney, I missed you.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So
it's cool when they have that relationship.
I love that, too, because my kids are close.
Yeah.
You know, even though the two older girls are out of the house now, everyone's still close, and it's just so fun. Like on holidays, you know, if Angela's able to make it up from California, we all are together. It's just so wonderful to sit back as parents and just watch them, you know, interact with each other. And it gives me a great sense that, you know, when we're gone, that they'll be okay. Cause they have each other, you know, the love and support of each other, which is awesome.
Amen.
I love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today is the feast of Saint Dominic, the founder of the Dominicans, the Order of Preachers, one of the great and most influential religious orders in the history of the church. You know, and he's a great saint, not because he's the founder of an order, but his deep love for God and his very effective preaching and sharing and his witness to the power of God's love working in his life and then from him into the life of the church. So it's all about St. Dominic today. And, of course, we would love to hear from you. Maybe share your thoughts about the Dominicans in your life. Like for me, Father Brian Milady, you know, God rest his soul of happy memory, who I've done 5 EWTN television series with, who also was a former host of Open Line, who passed away a few months ago. You know, one of the great Dominicans. And there's so, so many more. And so we're celebrating St. Dominic today. We'd love to hear from you. Beacon@EWTN.com.
I want to remind you this weekend, Catholic Cafe gives you a chance to hang out with Deacon Jeff as he's in the corner booth talking about faith. He's talking about how to strengthen faith, going into the deeper dive that you need each and every weekend. You can, of course, find it as well at Podcast Central if you want to catch up. But Sunday morning, 10:30 Eastern, right here on EWTN Radio.
All right. So St. Dominic today on his feast day. So you want to maybe reach out to your favorite Dominican and wish them a happy feast day today. I know here in Portland, we have a Dominican priory, which is part of the Western province of the Dominicans. It's a Holy Rosary Catholic Church. So I just want to say a quick shout out to the Dominicans there at Holy Rosary, at the Dominican priory in Portland. A happy feast day to you and to all your brother and sisters, right? The great Dominican order of nuns, like the Nashville Dominicans, right? The famous nuns who are just great teachers and are getting so many vocations. And the Ann Arbor Dominicans as well, you know, Ann Arbor, Michigan, who are just wonderful teachers and nurses and all the other amazing things that they do and has brought so much life into the church. And vocations are booming. Again, among those orders that are faithful to the church, including the Dominicans. So St. Dominic was born in Spain, you know, and so it's wonderful if you ever go to Spain, you know, on pilgrimage with me, you know, we definitely pay homage to St. Dominic, you know, such important, influential founder of a great religious order. And he was born in the year 1170. So early in the 12th century, he, as a university student, Dominic sold everything he had and bought food for the poor. You know, there's something interesting about a lot of these saints. You know, they had a deep love and a heart for the poor. So they may be great intellects. They may be great founders of religious orders. But a lot of them had a beautiful heart for the poor, you know, and not just those who are physically poor, but also spiritually poor, right? Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know, so we have to feed the poor, right? Both corporeally, right? Through acts of love and mercy and service and sacrifice, but also those who are spiritually poor. And I think St. Dominic reflects this beautifully, you know, through his obviously bought food and fed the poor and helped the poor, but also those in poor in spirit through his great preaching and dissemination of the gospel and of the teachings of the church. And, you know, and one time he also, St. Dominic, attempted to sell himself into slavery in order to obtain the freedom of others, right? Imagine that, selling your own self in slavery so that others can be freed. You know, and to me, you know, this is kind of a reminiscent of Maximilian Kolbe. You know, we all know, you know, the famous priest who was in Auschwitz, and when they were picking people to die, you know, he stepped forward to take the place of a man who had a family, you know, and he stepped up and took this man's place. And so, first of all, it was to me fascinating that the Nazi guard didn't just say, you know, both of you. He actually acceded to Maximilian Kolbe's request, you know, and he took the place of the man. In fact, that man, I think, was at his canonization as well. The man who whose life was saved through the great gift of his own life, Maximilian Kolbe. And so St. Dominic, you know, who lived long before Maximilian Kolbe, you know, again, attempted to sum up and say, that's amazing, you know. And so following his formal education, he initially joined the Augustinians, right? So the Augustinians is an order of a religious order, a church following the St. Augustine. Of course, our Holy Father, Pope Leo, is an Augustinian, right? So initially, St. Dominic was part of the of that religious order. And after ordination, he led the normal life of a priest for about 7 years. So he was an Augustinian priest, you know, doing the normal things that priests do, working in the parish, you know, helping the poor, preaching, all of that. And he had a strong devotion to prayer and penance. And those two things, prayer and penance, will become a hallmark of his life and ministry. And that's a good thing to remember, to pray for our priests today, that they live lives of prayer and penance. You know, it's very easy. And I travel a lot and I stay in rectories quite often. And so I get to have at least a few days of camaraderie with the priests that are there. And so I kind of see a little bit of life from behind the directory, if you will, you know. And you know, priests are ordained and do all that training 7, 8 years or even more if they attend minor seminary. You know, they spend a lot of years preparing for the priesthood, not to become administrators in parishes, you know, not just dealing with financial things or pushing paper or attending meetings. And all of that, I get it. All of that is a part of parish life. As a priest who's a pastor, who's a shepherd, just like me in my home, you know, prayer is a big part of it, of course, in our faith, of course. But there's also the realities of the mortgage and the electricity and the gas and tuition and all those other things that come with managing a home. And the same thing is true of priests. You know, they have to manage the life of the parish, you know, because the buck stops with them. You know, any you know, pastoral decisions or financial decisions, you know, he has people in the parish or parish council or a finance council that give him, that's exactly what they are, councils, you know, but the final decision is up to the pastor. But we also have to remember that they the focus of their life as a priest is about prayer and penance, right? Prayer and penance and being a shepherd of that family. That's really the heart of what the priesthood is all about, the priesthood of Jesus Christ being lived out in that parish family. And so those two things were definitely part of the heart and the charism of St. Dominic, prayer and penance. You know, and one of the greatest confessions I ever had with a priest, and this was actually a Dominican priest, funny enough, was for my penance. He said one of the things that he was going to do was fast for me. And that was the first time I ever heard a priest in confession say that he was going to fast for me. Like, personally, he was going to fast. He didn't ask me to fast, although actually I did get that from another Dominican priest, because I do go to the Holy Rosary for confession quite often, because they have confessions every day. And with my travel schedule, it's much more convenient to go over there for confession. I think it was the last confession I had when I went to Holy Rosary. The Dominican priest did say he wanted me to fast on Friday. You know, not just no meat, but fasting. But another priest there also said he was going to fast for me. And I was like, wow, how powerful and awesome is that? You know, so, you know, our priests are obviously critical and essential to the life of the church. Because, right, no priesthood, no Eucharist, no Eucharist, no life. Right. Beautiful. So in 1201, Dominic was made prior of his community. And a few years later, on his way to Denmark, traveling with his bishop, Dominic first encountered the Albigensian heretics of Toulouse, which is in southern France. All right. So, and this is famous, you know, so Dominic against the Albigensians. So the Albigensians, Albigensianism, I should say, is a heresy that taught that all material things, including the human body itself, was fundamentally evil. Right. So, no. Right. I mean, because there's so much emphasis on the spiritual side of our life to the negation of the physical. So even the human body. Yeah. The material things aren't, you know, material things aren't that important. We should be focusing on the spiritual things. But when it comes to the human body, that actually goes against the teachings of the church and the scripture. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that we have within us from God. You know, so Christ's body was the temple, right? Destroyed his temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. He was talking about the temple of his body, not the actual temple in Jerusalem, you know, the physical temple where they went for worship. You know, and so our bodies are living tabernacles, living sanctuaries for God's Holy Spirit. And so the Albigensian heresy negated that. And so at the prompting of Pope Innocent III, the reconciliation of the Albigensians with the church would be the main focus of St. Dominic's apostolic work. And so, you know, and it's wonderful that St. Dominic had the spirit of trying to bring people together, right? To find healing and unification within the church, right? Because that's what Christ prayed in John's Gospel in the Last Supper discourse. Right. He prayed that they all may be one, Father, as you are one and I are one. Right. So St. Dominic, in working with the Albigensians, became a focal point of unity, right, a locus of unity. And there's a great lesson for us there, that we also should be a focal point for unity within the life of the church. There's so many things. It's like, for Sammy, so many Catholic podcasters, you know, who focus on such on all the negative things that separating us in life of the church, all the warts, you know, and the blemishes in the church. And they use that as a point, honestly, for division within the church. But we should be, now again, we don't want to negate the problems that we're seeing within the life of the church. But what we want to do is focus on being a point of unity, of bringing people together. You know, so when St. Dominic debated the heretics, the Albigensians, his argumentation was so solid that the people he was going up against could not defend themselves. And so what was the response? You know, the response should have been, oh, wow, he's got a great point. Let's reunite ourselves with the church, right? But some of them threatened Saint Dominic with violence, right? And how that happens sometimes, right? I talk about how sometimes I receive not threats of violence, but a lot of some negativity in the emails, right? People write and say, I didn't like what you said, that you are a buffoon, you're an idiot, you should never have been born, those kinds of things. You know, so sometimes the truth and beauty of the faith are met with, with violence in other parts of the world. You know, in some countries on the continent of Africa and in India and in China, people are being met with violence because they were not willing to compromise the beauty and truth of the faith. When they go out and preach the faith with passion and conviction, sometimes they are met with violence. But most of the time, we're just met with negativity, right? A very vitriolic email or some other correspondence, or someone will yell at us, you know, or mock us because we're wearing a crucifix in public, whatever it may be. You know, or in the workplace, you know, they make you put a rainbow flag on your desk, or, you know, call, you know, people by all these crazy pronouns or whatever. You know, so there's so when we're preaching the truth and love or witnessing to our faith, we have to understand and even expect that we will be met with some negativity, you know, because people aren't open, at maybe at that point in their life, they're not open to receiving or hearing the truth of the faith. But we have to be persistent, you know. But on the flip side, with Saint Dominic, despite the threats, he traveled through the region preaching and helping people to come back to the faith, to restore unity within the life of the church, right? And that's really important because that work is not just for priests and deacons, right? And bishops, not just for the ordained clergy in the church, but all of us. Maybe we have a family member, a son, a daughter, a parent, a loved one, maybe even a close friend who's away from the church. And, you know, our job is not to proselytize and beat them over the head or force them or even convince them to become Catholic. I think the best thing we can do is by the witness of our lives. You know, because what they can't argue with you, it may be some point of doctrine they can argue with you about, but what they can't argue with you about is your personal witness and experience of the power of Christ working in your life. You know, you have the power of Christ, you know, that Holy Spirit coursing through your veins, you can't help but share your witness and your love of Christ with others. You know, it's just like in a dating relationship, you know, when you think that, you know, he or she may be the one, you know, that God has placed in your life to help you get to heaven. You want to share that witness and that love with everyone. And the same thing should be true of our faith. Our faith should be not just something that we keep to ourselves, but something that we're so filled with the love of Christ that we can't keep that love to ourselves, that it has to pour out of us into the world and into the life of others so that they can see the reality of Christ living in us.
Yeah, and at the same time, at the same way that we couldn't see what we couldn't see till we saw it, as you're explaining your own experience of God and how he's worked, again, it's not being over theological or arguing with the biggest Bible you can find. It's a matter of this is my life experience with God. This is how he changed me. This is how he worked. And people see that change in you. If all it is about knowing God and then being right, that's not leading people to him, you know? It's like if you meet someone for the first time, you wouldn't immediately just come with an abrasive, "Well, we have to be friends because of." Nobody's friends with people like, you know, you come in with,
Yeah,
"Hey, well, you know."
exactly.
And so again, it's the start of something grander because again, our job is to help people enter into heaven and how best to welcome them than with a welcoming spirit.
Right. And we welcoming spirit does not mean compromising who you are in your faith with Jesus or watering down the tenets of the faith that you want to share with them. You know, the whole thing is about leading with how do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say? And often the best way to do that is to start with personal experience, to start with your encounter with God and what he has done for you. You know, and maybe that will spur the person to ask questions. Wait a minute, you weren't always like that. Or I remember you in high school, you were very different. What happened to you? You know, where did all this faith and God and stuff come from? You know, you weren't necessarily anti-faith, but you just were like, neutral when it came to faith, but now you're like passionate and on fire. Like, what happened? What changed? Those are the kinds of conversations that I think we need to start with. That, and as we begin to know the person keeps coming back to us, asking us more questions, we can get them maybe into the weeds a little bit. But we have to start, I think, with personal relationship and personal encounter.
Well, and at the same time, they can't see what we see. I think that's where my heart hurts the most, is when I know someone's going through something that I've experienced and I've seen how God worked in my life, and I know He will do the same for them if they're willing to surrender. But at the same time, I can't, here's what you got to do. You say, when I was going through that same thing, here's what I did. Here's how God helped. And then watch either the light bulb go off or at least a seed be planted. If nothing else, you're laying seeds in the soil that then God is watering and maturing over time. And it may be a lot through you, or it may just be a little. But we don't have to be the beginning, middle, and end. We can just be part of it. And whatever part we may be playing is that, so that we can have compassion, because we know what it's like to be going through that experience or a similar experience. But then understanding that God is big enough, you don't know how He's going to work, to just go, all right, God, how do you need me to be a part of this? Or am I just an ear? Because sometimes people just need to know. I mean, that's why they call into our shows.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're the people willing to stop what we're doing to say, please tell us your experience, your story. And then we know how to pray for you, even if we never know you face to face, or we don't see you until we get to a family celebration or a deacon event or whatever it is. Again, it's not even a matter of whether we know faces and names. We know the hearts and souls that are hurting or that are hungry or that are loving God. And that's how we're all connected, right? So allowing yourself to be more of that in your surroundings is what God is calling us to.
Yes, exactly. And it's that, in that beautiful, enriching encounter where we come to know Jesus. And we talked about this before, like maybe that person, that can learn from us, but we can also learn from them. So it's this beautiful symbiotic relationship. It's not a one-way street when it comes to witnessing and sharing our faith with others.
Amen.
That's for sure.
Amen.
All right. Well, going back to St. Dominic here, he is in 1206, he established the first kind of Dominican priory. That's where his headquarters was with his bishop. And he was offered three times to become a bishop. And he refused all three times because he felt that he was called to other work in the Lord's vineyard. That the life of a bishop was not what he was called to. He was honest enough to recognize that. Almost like, in a sense, St. Francis of Assisi, who never became a priest. He was a deacon, like myself. He remained a deacon and did not go on to the priesthood. And so similarly, St. Dominic never went on to become a bishop because he felt his work in the Lord's vineyard was, as he was, just important. And so, of course, he founded the Order of Preachers, worked to spread the faith, and others saw what he was doing and joined him in his endeavors. So he would set up communities which would be centers of sacred learning, whose members were devoted to study, teaching, and preaching, as well as a strict routine of discipline. Remember, prayer and fasting and penance were hallmarks of his ministry. In addition to the teaching, so this wonderful balance, the intellectual and the spiritual, the mind and the heart, right? This beautiful balance, like Saint Benedict, in a different way, obviously, for monks, for men living in a monastery, but in a similar, but obviously different way, different charism. Saint Dominic did the same thing in the Order of the Preachers, which are supposed to be out in the world. And so the new order spread all over Europe and was one of the leading missionary groups in Asia and spread to South America. And St. Dominic died in the year 1221 and was canonized not much later in 1234. So among the great Dominicans were Albert the Great and, of course, St. Thomas Aquinas, whose influences have lasted this very day. right? So let's take the spirit of St. Dominic and share it with the world. All right, tomorrow we're taking a look at St. Clare, that wonderful Franciscan sister who is so beloved. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.